Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Welcome back. You're at podcast 835 of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a great guest for you lined up now. This is someone who has written a New York Times bestseller on thyroiditis, and I'm going to get to what that is when we talk to her in a few seconds. She has now written a follow-up book called Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back. She has personal knowledge of this, and she is a PharmD, and I'll ask her what that means. So, Isabella, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, tell me, when they say PharmD, what does that mean? You first became a pharmacist and then went and got a PhD in pharmacology, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, so the PharmD degree, it's a doctorate level degree in pharmacy, so just much like a dental degree or a medical degree. So after undergrad, I went to a four-year PharmD professional program where I learned all about pharmacology and diseases and therapeutics.
And now from that, you ended up, after that, you ended up getting Hashimoto's thyroiditis yourself. Is that right?
I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's after pharmacy school, and I probably actually started having symptoms of it during my first year in undergrad, but I didn't know because it took me about 10 years to get diagnosed, which is actually the average amount of time it takes for a person to get diagnosed.
And tell us what Hashimoto's thyroiditis is.
So Hashimoto's, it sounds like a really rare and exotic condition, but it's actually very common, affecting 27% of our population. Now, most people don't know that they have this condition. And the condition is the leading cause of an underactive thyroid in the United States. What's happening in Hashimoto's is basically the immune system recognizes the thyroid gland as a foreign invader and starts to launch an attack on the thyroid gland. This causes many symptoms, and eventually the person will no longer be able to make their own thyroid hormones. And at that point is when a person is diagnosed and usually placed on synthetic thyroid hormones like Synthroid, which was one of the top prescribed drugs in the last few years.
And now this is a inflammation of the thyroid. So, and what that is something that destroys some of the thyroid gland, as I understand it. So now you go about this, or you talk about this there is a protocol to both help relieve and prevent it. Why does that work? Is this a viral infection, or is this toxins, or is it a combination of the two? What's your thoughts on that?
It's usually a combination of a few different factors for people. So usually it's sort of the perfect storm that creates the condition in the body that makes our immune system decide to attack the thyroid. It's sort of, when we think about adaptive physiology, it's almost like a protective mechanism where our body thinks that we're not safe in our environment, and it tries to slow us down. And it slows us down by slowing down the thyroid gland and slowing down our metabolism. So what some of the factors that I've identified are going to be food sensitivities, nutrient deficiencies, especially in selenium, various toxins, various infections that can be inside of the thyroid, like a viral infection, or even outside of the thyroid. There's usually a digestive challenges associated with the condition, and oftentimes an impaired stress response. And
why do women get it so much more commonly than men?
5 to 8 women are affected for every man that's affected with the condition. And going back to the adaptive physiology standpoint, this makes perfect sense because women are more tuned into their environment because they have the very important job of bringing new progeny into our world. So they have to be very tuned into whether or not it's a safe time to reproduce and whether. And of course, we know that thyroid disease also slows down fertility.
But that doesn't explain why they get it more. That may be why they're more sensitive to the diagnosis. But even when you look at screening tests, women are still much more commonly affected than men. Why do they, are they more exposed to toxins? Are they more exposed to viruses that affect the thyroid? Or are they, or is there something different about their sensitivity to thyroid hormones?
There's a few different explanations, and one of them, we know that changes in estrogen levels can change how thyroid hormones are bound in the body. So that can change the need for thyroid hormones, and then we end up with an inflammatory process if there are not enough ingredients to create enough thyroid hormones in the body. So that's one potential reason. And then we also look at exploring potentially endocrine disruptors. So we know that they are found in our personal care products. We know that women use on average twice as many personal care products that men do. Various studies have been done on connecting, for example, lupus to the lead that's found in lipstick. So that can play a role in that. And another potential reason is, going back to the safety theory of, we know that that people who have had a history of physical abuse, sexual abuse, any kind of trauma growing up, they end up with higher rates of thyroid disease and autoimmune thyroid disease and other kinds of conditions. And so, my theory is that for just being a woman in our modern world, we see that women have higher rates. They generally have higher rates of being victims of sexual abuse and physical abuse compared to men. So that could be another factor that perhaps it's just not as safe to be a woman in our modern world as it is to be a gentleman, right?
I better not comment on that. But so let's go. Since I think that it probably isn't safe, the world is troubled, if you will, for both men and women, and there clearly are stresses that each gender has. But I think the personal care products and it still is puzzling to me, because at least it seems to me from what I know of the disease that a large amount of thyroiditis, that is the acute problem, is associated with viral infections. And so I don't know whether there is an increased cross-sensitivity or sensitivity of women to because of the personal care products or something else. It's unclear to me why they get so much more thyroid disease than men. But over the age of 60, as you point out in this book, it's much more common for a woman to have a decreased thyroid function than it is for a guy. You go into, in your protocol, the fundamental protocols for treating this, you talk about both liver and adrenal as well as gut balance. Tell me how those affect the thyroid, or why they affect this disease, or why they affect the start of this disease.
So, just working with over 1,000 clients with Hashimoto's and doing a lot of research in the area of the condition, I've realized that there were certain things that were present in just about every person. So to your point that it could be a viral infection inside of the thyroid gland, like the Epstein-Barr virus, or it could be another kind of infectious trigger that could cause the disease. But just about every single person ended up with having these three body systems affected, which were the liver, the adrenals, and gut. And I started off with having some clients who were having a really hard time with supplements, with multiple chemical sensitivities, and just overall they were not getting better. We were trying various remedies to try to support the body in clearing out the Epstein-Barr virus and clearing out infections out of their bodies, but they were getting worse instead of better. And so I did a little bit more research and testing and learned that there was a big kind of buildup of toxins in a lot of people with Hashimoto's, where they, giving them some toxicity assessments, we found that they were having a lot of symptoms that tested on that. And this makes a lot of sense, because when you have thyroid disease, you're not going to be sweating as much, so you're not getting rid of toxins that way. you have circulating immune complexes that could end up in your liver that that contributes to some of the liver backlog. And I ended up putting a client on some liver support supplements and other kinds of liver support interventions to try to get out some of the most common low-hanging burdens, like the endocrine disrupting chemicals, and having them go on a 2-week cleanse of those things. And we found that 65% of people with Hashimoto's felt significantly better within the first 2 weeks of doing this liver support. And this was kind of a big moment for me. And I thought, wow, this is quite significant. It started with one client who was able to reduce her chemical sensitivities and finally go to the shopping mall again. And I tested this with first 100 people, and then now with over 1,000 people, and we're looking at about 65 to 70% of people with Hashimoto's feel significantly better once we start clearing out some of that toxic backlog. One of the potential reasons could be because we're doing the liver does a lot of conversion from T4 to T3, and when we give the liver a bit of a break and we support it,
we ought to tell people what T4 and T3 are. T4 is what, and T3 is what, and when you say conversions, what do you mean?
Those are such great questions. I started getting a little bit nerdy, so thanks for bringing me back down to earth. So T4 is our main thyroid hormone, and this is something that is often given to people in supplement form, in medication form, and it's supposed to be converted into T3, which is the more active thyroid hormone that helps us really activate the thyroid cells in our bodies. And whenever a person, on paper, they should be able to convert T4 to T3 just fine, but this doesn't always happen. And so what we find is when we give a person a better ability to convert that T4 to T3, the person feels better and they have fewer thyroid symptoms. And so that's sort of one of the great things that supporting the liver can do, is it can help the body to utilize its own thyroid hormones better, as well as external thyroid hormones better.
And now let's go back. So in the conversion, obviously, is we were at the point of the liver. And so something in the liver either hinders or speed or inhibits or deregulates or does something to this conversion, is what I guess you're saying.
Right. So the liver, when we have a toxic backlog of all of these different chemicals that the liver needs to process out, we don't see as much of a conversion of T4 to T3. So perhaps some of the enzymes are occupied, or some of the materials that are needed to create the chemical reaction of converting T4 to T3 may be deficient. And so when we support the liver properly, we see a better conversion of the less active thyroid hormone to the more active thyroid hormone.
And so that's why the liver protocol is involved. You also talk about a adrenal protocol. How does the adrenal affect the thyroid function?
So when speaking with my clients, and I've surveyed my community of over 200,000 people with thyroid disease a few years ago, I found that stress seemed to be one of the biggest factors that that was correlated with thyroid disease. And so a large percentage, over 70% of people, when I asked them what was going on in their life before they got sick, they said they were stressed out. And more than 80% of them said that stress made them feel significantly worse. And so our adrenal glands produce our stress hormones. And what we found is sometimes there can be a miscommunication between our pituitary gland and our adrenal stress hormones. And this is often present in people with Hashimoto's. And so they have this impaired ability to handle stress, and they end up feeling unwell. Even though they're on thyroid hormones, they end up feeling exhausted. And so what we found is that helping them reset their stress response and sending some of these safety signals to their bodies helps them feel significantly better. So we do a 4-week, I like to call it a spa month, where I really encourage people to reduce some of these stress-producing things in their life. So we're going to be getting plenty of sleep. We're going to be reducing caffeine. We're focusing on balancing the blood sugar because that can set off the stress response. We're focusing on helping the person take on some stress-reducing strategies such as, you know, yoga, deep breathing, meditation, adult coloring books, whatever's up their alley. And then we're also focusing on helping them themselves with some helpful herbs and nutrients. So I recommend pathogens, B vitamins, as well as vitamin C, plenty of rest to help a person reset their stress response. And that we see a significant amount of people feel a lot better within the first few weeks of going through that protocol.
And the third area you talk about that is not the thyroid directly is a gut balance. Talk to me about that, if you would, or talk to me, not talk to our listeners about that.
Of course. So one interesting thing Dr. Alessio Fasano, as a researcher, found is that every case of autoimmune disease and thyroid diseases, Hashimoto's is always autoimmune in nature, has this component of having intestinal permeability. And now this is, in simple terms, the gut is not as sealed up as it's supposed to be, so it has some leaks in it. What we found is there are certain things that lead to that, and this could be microbial imbalance, nutrient deficiencies in the gut, stress can, of course, produce that, as well as deficiencies in digestive enzymes. And so, and certain foods can also cause reactions. So during the six-week protocol, we restore gut balance by utilizing probiotics, fermented foods, nutrients, stress reduction, as well as removing certain foods from the diet to help us seal up the gut and make it less reactive. The amazing thing is when we can get, I talked about there are three things that lead to autoimmunity. These are the triggers. These could be viruses or toxins, the genetic predisposition, as well as this leaky gut. When we address just one of these things, we can get the condition to go into remission. And we can't change our genes yet, and we can't necessarily always identify and remove the triggers, but we can always work on making gut health better. And so that this is what we do in this gut protocol. And we see people feel better. They're less bloated. They can absorb their thyroid hormones better. Sometimes they can even reduce their dosage of thyroid hormones when they do this protocol. And we see a lot of the fatigue, the weight gain, and the brain fog disappear throughout this.
So, Let me go in and ask you to summarize this. So when are women, should women or should everybody be doing these protocols without a diagnosis of thyroid disease or when they get certain symptoms? Or or is it only when there's a lab test abnormality?
Sure. So if somebody has fatigue, if they have anxiety, palpitations, if they have digestive distress, if they're gaining weight without trying, if they have brain fog, this is oftentimes going to be a sign that they have thyroid disease. And now the protocols that I've utilized, they're going to be helpful for people who have diagnosed thyroid disease. We're going to see improvements on their lab markers. And we're also going to see improvements for people with symptoms. So whether or not you have the diagnosis or not, doing the three fundamental protocols of supporting the liver, adrenals, and gut will help a person's symptoms significantly.
And what I take it is you're advocating that we do this protocol, quote, the Hashimoto's protocol, which is in the book that you wrote, Elisabella Wentz, W-E-N-T-Z. She is the New York Times bestselling author of Hashimoto's Thyroiditis and a PharmD, who has specialized in this, went through it herself, so she knows firsthand what it is like and what the symptoms are like and why it takes so long to diagnose it. And Those are all presented in the book. And what you are really advocating is that if you have the symptoms, you probably should get the lab tests. But while you're waiting for the lab tests, or while you're waiting for an appointment, or while you're debating the whole thing, there is no harm. And there is a lot of benefit of going on the liver protocol, the adrenal protocol, and the gut helping protocol, as I understand it.
Absolutely. These protocols can be very, very helpful for eliminating symptoms. And we see amazing results with a large percentage of our clients getting better utilizing these protocols and finally shedding the symptoms that have been dragging them down.
So we are now listening to Isabel Wentz, the author of Hashimoto's Protocol, on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. This is podcast 835. The book is from Harper One. She is a best-selling author, and there is a lot of logic in this book. You'll enjoy it. It's written well with a lot of stories as well as convincing evidence that she presents. Isabel Wentz, W-E-N-T-Z, and the book is Hashimoto's Protocol. Isabella, thanks very much for coming on, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
The privilege is ours. Tune in next week. Every Tuesday at 7 a.m., we release a new podcast. Next week is 8:35. In addition to the news of the week, Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, P-I-Z-Z-O-R-N-O, the founder of Bastyr University, a nutritional physician, if you will, a diet. He's got an ND, not an MD, but he is really the father of the toxin solutions and of detoxing our life. He'll be here to talk about the toxin solution, how hidden poisons in the air, water, food, and products we use are destroying our health. My favorite, of course, still is the one from Charlie Hennekins. I think it's 814 on a toothpaste that can save your life because it decreases inflammation. We'll talk to Dr. Pizzorno about what he thinks about that toothpaste as well. Thanks again for listening, and thanks, Sonar, for great engineering. Talk to you next week.